Okay, good afternoon, everybody. Today we're going to be learning Ksubas Daf Tes Zayin. We are holding by the very beginning of the second parak of Maseches Ksubas on Daf Tes Vav Amid Beis. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer, in honor of his wife and children, and Li'ilei Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha, La Shalom, the Neshama Shevna Aliyah, and we wish a profound sense of Nechama to the entire Landerer family. It's also sponsored by theSeferTorah.com, the background of which is a drive to write a Sefer Torah. Torah Lezecher Nishmas, Rav Meir Zlotowitz, all of us who learned Daf Yomi, and probably everyone in Klal Yisrael has benefited from art school, whether from an art school Siddur, Machzor, or the art school Gemaras, which we all know was introduced by Rav Meir with the encouragement of his Rebbe, Rav David Feinstein Zatzal. One of Rav David's dreams before he passed away was to write a Sefer Torah Lezecher Nishmas, Rav Meir, and now we all have the opportunity to do so at thesefertorah.com, thesefertorah. com. We thank both sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So we are holding again at the beginning of the Perek, and you would think that with the beginning of a Perek, we're starting an entirely brand new Limud, but that is not the case. In fact, the very first discussion of this Perek is going to discuss something relating to the Machlokas between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel that we've had until this point, and the Gemara is going to work hard to try to figure out which Machlokas, which of the Mishnayos that had Machlokas with Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel we're referring back to. The context is that our Mishnah is going to talk about a woman who claims she's entitled to a full 200 zuz ksuba, and a man saying, no, when I married you, you were already an almana, you were already a grusha. So what type of raya do we need that she was a besula? So the Gemara is going to talk about that. The Mishnah is going to say that we need edim that she was yatzus behinuma, but there is a machlokas and meseches basra whether we follow rov even by dine mamanis. So the Gemara is going to discuss how that rule fits into, or how that machlokas fits into our Mishnah. So the Gemara is then going to discuss, well, even if you do have Eidim that she had a wedding that looked like the wedding of a Besula, maybe she already collected a Ksuba with those Eidim, and now she's coming to a different Beis Din to recollect the Ksuba. So let's begin anyway at the Mishnah, at the beginning of the Parak on Daf Tesvav and Beis. So Ishish and Sarmalish and Skarsha. A woman becomes an Almana or a Grusha, and she's claiming the rights to her ksuba. She wants to get paid. He omeris besula misasani. She says that when I got married, I was a besula, and therefore I'm entitled to masayim zuz, because that's what a besula gets. If a hu omer, and the husband says, or in the case of Nisarmala, not the husband, but his yorshim, say, loki, ela almana nisaticha. No, when I married you, you were already an almana, and therefore I only owe you 100 zuz, because someone who marries an almana is only chayiv 100 zuz. So our Mishnah is talking about, obviously, where they don't have the shtar, because if they had the shtar ksuba, they could just look at what it says in the shtar ksuba. So whether it's a ksubas basula or a ksubas almana, so if they don't have the shtar, and then now we're only going, that's what Tos points out, so we're only going based on their word alone, and what they're saying, that's how Rashi points out. So im yesh edim shiatzis, so says the Mishnah, the halacha is, im yesh edim shiatzis bihinuma, if we have edim that saw that she went out from her father's house to the wedding, bihinuma, which is like a type of chuppah made of hadasim, or she went verosha perua, where her hair was on her shoulders, where it was flowing and hanging down like the like people who are besulos when they get married. So then it's an edus that she was a besula, and therefore ksubas amasayim. She's going to be entitled to 200 zuz ksuba. But if there are no edim that could testify that her wedding looked like a wedding of a besula, then she's only going to get 100 zuz, because that there's no machlokas about. The 100 zuz everyone agrees to. It's only the additional 100 zuz that she's claiming that is in dispute, and for that yadal tachtona. It's like anyone who's trying to be motzi mamon. The rule is hamotzi mechavero alav haraya. Rabbi Yochanan Broka Omer af chilu kloyos raya. That even if there are edim that there was a distribution of candies of sweet nuts, that's a raya that she was a basula when she got married. Because in Rabbi Yochanan Broka's location, that's what they used to do by a wedding of a basula. They used to give out candies at the wedding of a basula, which so that would be a good enough raya. So if Eidim tell us that's what they did, so then that's ki'ilu, there's edus that she was a basula. So from the poskim, it seems that chilu klayos is lav dafka. It's who adin if they testify about any other minog of kishut or a mishta that there were no heg by nisue basulos, and that's what the Meiri says, and that's what what it sounds like from the Rambam in the 16th paragraph of Hilchas Yishus, that if there were Edom, the Rambam says that they saw, that they did, the Minhagu Shenogu Anshe Osa Yir La'asosin L'Besula. The Rambam doesn't identify specifically Chilu Kloyos, but whatever they would do at a Ksubas Besula, like Mine Simcha, or Ksarim, or Malbush Yodua, or Shar Dvarim Shenosin Kena L'Besula. So you see clearly that it's not about the candies, it's about the fact that they had some sort of special minhag that they would only do at a Nisun of a Besula, so they could testify to that minhag. Now, we had a machlokas back on Daf Yudbeis between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Shua, whether a woman is neman to get money that she's claiming for her ksuba by virtue of a migo. That Rabbi Gamliel said that a woman who was found to be a ba'ula at the time that she gets married is neman, is to say that misha rastani ne'enasti, so I was a Besula at the time of the Erusin, and therefore my ksuba should be masayim, a migo that she could have claimed, mukaseitzani, which would have been an even better claim, and that wouldn't have passed her from kuhuna, as opposed to the title that she's saying, Mishorasani Nanasi, passes her from kuhuna, whereas Rabbi Yeshua holds that she's not Ne'emenes. So our Mishnah is going to say that there's one case that even Rabbi Yeshua is going to be Motzi from Gamliel, that Amigo is going to help even to be Motzi Mamam. So even though Rabbi Yeshua had said in the previous parak that having Amigo is not enough to be Motzi Mamam, to take money from the other party, but there's going to be one case where even Rabbi Yeshua's Mode, Rabbi Yeshua agrees from Gamliel, that someone says to somebody else, this field that I have in my possession right now used to belong to your father, but I purchased it from him. So we're talking about where the Chaver had no idea about this field, other than what the Muchzak is telling him right now. He had no idea that he had any family connection to this field. So Shu Neman, the Muchzak is believed, Shapesha Asar, Hua Pesha Hitter, because it's the very same source that tells him that belonged to the father, is the very same source that tells him that he had purchased it from the father. So that Migo that he could have just kept quiet, Apesha Asar Hua Pesha Hitter, is a form of Migo. It's Migo that he could have not said anything, and he could have just kept holding onto the field. So that's enough for him to be able to keep this field. But if there are witnesses that it belonged to the father, so we didn't need the Muchzak to tell us that it belonged to this fellow's father. And the Muchzak is just saying, yes, I know it belonged to your father, but I bought it from him. So then he's not going to be believed, because he doesn't have a shtar or a cheskas gimel shanim to prove that he's correct, and therefore the field goes back to the original owner. Meaning, typically, the third part of Masechta Babas was all about the fact that if you don't have a shtar and you claim a field is yours, so you're neman only after gimel shanim, only after you've had it for 3 years, because within 3 years you're supposed to hang on to the shtar, and by virtue of the fact that you don't have a deed to produce to show that the field belongs to you, we assume that it does not belong to you. So says the Gemara. Now we said in the Mishnah that if there are Eidim that she was yatzas bihinuma, that she went out in a canopy to the wedding, that her ksuba is masayim. So the Gemara is medayik time of the ike Eidim. The reason we believe the woman is dafka because there are Eidim that say that she was yatzas bihinuma. Haleka Eidim bal mehemen. But if there are no Eidim, then the husband would be believed that she would only get 100 for the ksuba. And we don't say that since the tainos, it's not clear to us whether she was a basula or a ba'ula at the time of the wedding, so let's keep her b'cheskasa and say that initially she was a basula, when she was born she was a basula, so why don't we go with her chazaka that she was a basula until we know for sure that it had changed, and since the Baal doesn't have a raya, a certain raya that he's correct, so let's go with her chazaka. But we see from our Mishnah not that way, that chazaka doesn't help. And yet in the Mishnah back on Daf Yud Beis and Beis, we had a machlokes from Gamliel and Rabbi Shua about a woman that got married b'cheskas that she's a basula, and then it turned out that she didn't have basulim, and the Baal claims that maybe she lost her basulim before the erusin and she lied to him, and she's saying no, that she lost her basulim after the erusin. That Rabbi Gamliel is Shita is that she's believed because she has a cheskas besula, and so long as there's no reyusa on that chazaka, she's believed. And Rabbi Shua disagrees and says that the husband is believed, and we're not motzi mamon of the ksuba out of the safek. You need a raya brura. So says Mar, so lema tanan stama delo kram Gamliel. Our Mishnah therefore seems against Rabbi Gamliel. Dear Rabbi Gamliel, ha'amar ihi mehenda. Rabbi Gamliel says that we believe the woman, that her chazaka matters, that her chazaka is enough to believe her. So how come in our Mishnah the chazaka is not enough to believe her. Why not say that she has a cheskas pesula, and therefore even if we don't have eidim that was yatzis biyinuma, that she should be believed that she was in fact a pesula. So elamai, our Mishnah seems to be delok Rabban Gamliel. So says Gemara, no, I feel the time Rabban Gamliel. Our Mishnah could even fit with Rabban Gamliel. Ad kan lok Rabban Gamliel also mel bevari b'shama. Rabban Gamliel only believed the woman when she says misharastani nanasti back there on Daf Yud Beis, when she says that she lost her besulim after the erusin, when the husband says, no, I think it might have happened before the erusin, because the woman has a tainus bari. She knows what happened to her. She knows when she lost her besulim. The husband is guessing. The husband has no idea what happened to her. He has no way of knowing. So then we're going to say, let her chazaka count, that she'll be able to be believed, because she has a chazaka and she has a tainus bari. Aval hacha, but over here, in our case, in our Mishnah, bebari ubari, where the husband and the woman both were sure, are both coming with the tainus bari, the husband saying, I remember when we got married, she was already in almana, she already was only entitled to ksubas mana, and that's what we wrote, that's what the ksuba said. So then, lo amar, then Rabban Gamliel is not going to say you follow the chazaka, because the husband has a tainus bari. So, fracting mara de karila, my karila, why would we even think that our Mishnah is necessarily against Rabban Gamliel? After all, habari ubari hu, isn't it clear that our Mishnah is an entirely different case than the Mishnah we had in the first part? Because now our Mishnah, it's a bari ubari, it's not a bari yushema. So says Mark, kivin derob nashim besulos nisos ki bari v'shema dami. No, since most women when they get married they are besulos, so it's as if she has the upper hand in her claim. It's almost like she's coming with the tainus bari and he's coming with the tainus shema. So that's why the Maksha thought to say that our Mishnah is not following Rabban Gamliel, because the way we were medayek, the Tana of our Mishnah does not rely on her chazaka, even though it's ki'ilu a bari v'shema. So that's what the Gemara answers. No, it may be ki'ilu a bari v'shema, but it's not actually a bari v'shema. And since it's not actually a bari v'shema, that's why her chazaka is not going to help her over here. So says the Gemara, v'hachinam mistavra, and it's most mistaver to say that the case of our Mishnah, even Rabban Gamliel's moda, that the husband is believed and not the woman, midiktani, because it says in our Mishnah, umoda Rabbi Yoshua. So, which bepashtus, we don't understand what that's talking about. What hodaa? What was the machlokas we're referring back to that Rabbi Yeshua all of a sudden is moda? Yam b'shloma ayri Rabban Gamliel the moda. If you're going to say that the ratio of our Mishnah is Rabban Gamliel, and therefore you have to say that moda Rabbi Yeshua, that when both of them are coming with a tiny b'toras vaday, the woman is not going to be believed, and her cheskas aguf does not help. So shapir, then I understand very well why it says moda Rabbi Yeshua, that even he is moda in our Mishnah to what Rabban Gamliel says. Because he only disagrees with him that a migo shouldn't help, when the migo is the kind of migo that we had in the previous Mishnah. But the migo that appears in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yeshua, is going to be moda, it's going to work. Eli'i amrit lo ayrim gamliel the moda, but if you can say that he's not moda to Rabbi Yeshua, even in such a case, like the Makshan thought, that even in the case in our Mishnah, Rabbi Gamliel follows cheskas haguf, so Rabbi Yeshua, the man moda. So it's not clear what Rabbi Yeshua is being moda to. So says Mar Misav Rabbi Yeshua, hi Pirkin Kai. Wait a second. You think Rabbi Yeshua is going on the Mishnah that it said in this parak, and that's why you're rejecting our statement? Nah, amigo Kai, va Pirkin Kama Kai. No, Rabbi Yeshua in our Mishnah is going on something that we discussed about the Ne'emanos on account of amigo, and that Rabbi Gamliel disagreed with him in the first parak. Meaning, the second parak is really a continuation of the first parak. In yeshivas, usually they don't stop, you know, when you switch program sometimes in Eon Seder from one to the other, they don't stop at the end of the first parak and then switch. You go a couple of dapim into the second parak, because the second parak is a continuation of the first parak, and this is why it's referring right back to the first parak. So says the Gemara, so the Gemara is going to have a whole back and forth, which machlokes from Gamliel and Yeshua from the first parak the Gemara had in mind over here. So says the Gemara, Aheya, which din that was mentioned in the first parak is Rabbi Yeshua referring to in our Mishnah. If it's going back to the Mishnah Daf Yud Gimel, Haisumu Beres, that a woman was pregnant and she's a single girl, so Va'amrullah, and they said to her, Mativu Shaluberze, what's the story with this baby? Who is the father of this baby? And she claims, Me Ish Ploni V'Kohenu, it's from so and so, and he's a Meyucha, so the baby is a kosher, and I'm a kosher. And Rabbi Blaz say that she's believed and she's allowed to marry a Kohen. Whereas Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Lomit. Chayin. We don't live out of what comes out of her mouth. She is not telling the truth, and so long as she doesn't bring a raya, we are choshesh that it was a puzzle that has impregnated her. So that's what we're saying over here, that Rabbi Yeshua's mode, that we say amigo, because when there's a pesha asar, who a pesha hit here? So says Gemara, no, that can't be what the machlokas were referring back to. Hasa my amigo ika. Over there, what tainus migo does the woman have to try to bring a raya to her? Hare kresa ben shineha. Meaning what? She's going to say amigo that she's a mukaseitz? She's pregnant. Mukaseitz doesn't become pregnant. Obviously, there was a tashmish, there was a bia over there. So how can the woman say that she's going to be believed? Because she could have said, l'kosher nevalti, that she's believed to say, l'kosher nevalti, b'migo, that she could have said, lo nevalti. You can't say lo nevalti when you're pregnant. So it must be that the yisod of the machlokes in Rav Lungan and Rav Shua is in this case, is based on something else and not based on migo. So you can't say that which Rav Yeshua is moda over here in our Mishnah, that she's ne'amenes b'migo, is going on that machlokes. That even though previously Rav Yeshua did not believe her with amigo, now he's going to believe her with amigo. No, that machlokas didn't involve amigo. So that wouldn't be a natural fit to say that over here he's going to be moda that the amigo works. Ella aha, must be going on the resha of that very same Mishnah. Because that resha spoke about not where she was pregnant, but ru'uha midaberes imechad. That they saw that she was midaberes with somebody, which remember we had a whole daf almost about what the word midaberes meant. But one thing we knew for sure, it does not mean that she was speaking to someone. It said that we either saw her have bia with someone, or it means that we saw her have yichud with someone. So Vamrulam, they said to her, Mati Vishalishta, who's this guy that you've been hanging out with? Ish Ploni Vikoinu. And she says, it's a miyuchas. So and over there also, Reb Lazar said that she is believed and she's kosher to marry a Kohen. And Rabbi Shua says, I don't believe her. She's becheskas bu'ula to a apostle until she's able to bring a raya that it was not a apostle. So says Martin, no, that doesn't work. Kasam my amigo ika. Over there also, what sort of amigo does she have over there? Hani chalizi iridamar my midaberis nistera migo divayamelo nevalti. The kamar nevalti mehemna. If you're going to say that midaberis means that she had yichud, okay, then I get that she had amigo, because we didn't see anything. All we saw is that she had yichud. So she's admitting that she had bia, but she's saying that it was a kosher guy. So she could have said something better. She could have said that I didn't have bia at all. That it was just were in a room together. We didn't do anything. So in that case, Rabbi Yeshua said that lo mipi anu chayin. We're not going to trust her amigo. Then in this parak we say, but even Rabbi Yeshua's moda in the case in our mission that we do trust her amigo. Elder Ravasi dam remind me the beres veles. But if you learn that case of Medaberis means that we saw that she had Bia, my Migo Ika, then there's no Migo that she could have had, because Edom saw that she was Neveles. So it wasn't a case of Migo to begin with, where it would make sense that building off of that, the Rabbi Yeshua is going to be Moda, but in our case, we'll trust the Migo. The Ela Aha. So now we have to try a third attempt. Which Mishnah in the first parak are we building off of, where Rabbi Yeshua said, I don't believe Amigo, and now he's saying, but in our Mishnah, in the second parak, we do believe Amigo. So it must be going back on the Mishnah prior to that, where he omeres mukaseitani. The woman says, I'm a mukaseit, and I did not have bia with this man, and therefore I'm entitled to uksuba like a basula. V'hum, I didn't have bia with anybody. V'hu omer loki eladrusas ishat. And the husband says, no, prior to our erusin, you must have had bia with somebody, and therefore you're not entitled to uksubas basula. So Gamliel Rablazer am ne'emenes. So Gamliel Rablazer say that the woman is ne'emenes, and she receives uksuba. Rabbi Shua Omer Lomi Pia Anuchayim. And Rabbi Shua says, we don't believe her, we don't believe what she's saying. And that's what we say in our Mishnah, that Rabbi Shua's Moda, that we say Amigo, because you have a Pesha Asar in this case. So says Mar Hasa my Migo Ika. But wait, even in that case, what Migo would she have had? Bish, Omer Rabbi Lazar Dam Man Velo Klum. I understand very well, according to Rabbi Lazar, that says that in that Mishnah, the Machlokas between her and him is that working with the assumption that a Mukas Eitz is entitled only to 100 Zuz. So all she's claiming is 100 zuz, and he's claiming, I don't want to give you anything, so you don't deserve anything, which he's saying it's a drusas ish, it's a mekatos legamri, you're not entitled to anything. Migo di bayo amra. So then I understand that she had a migo, because what she was claiming, she was only claiming 100 zuz. So migo that she could have said, mukaseitz ani tachtecho vi islam asayim. She could have said, not only am I a mukaseitz, but I became a mukaseitz after erisin, and therefore I'm entitled to the full 200 zuz. And instead she's saying a worse claim, that she only became mukaseitz prior to the erisin. Rishiv, and therefore she's only entitled to a mana. So then I understand that we're working with a Migo over there, and Rabbi Yeshua didn't rely on that Migo, and then Moda Rabbi Yeshua over here that we will rely on a Migo. El Rabbi Yochanan to Amar, but Masai Mana, my Migo Ika. But according to Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of that Machlokas, that the woman was actually saying when she's saying Mukas Eitzani, she's saying I'm entitled to 200 Zuz, because we hold that a Mukas Eitzani is entitled to 200 Zuz. So what Taina could she have had that would have been a better Taina? Even if she would have said Mukas Eitzani Tachtecha, it's the same, it has the same impact as saying Mukas Eitzani from beforehand. Either way, she's getting 200 Zuz. So there is no Migo over there that Rabbi Yeshua wasn't trusting in order to say Moda Rabbi Yeshua in our Mishnah that we do trust a Migo. Ella, attempt number 4, I think we're up to, which Mishnah in the first parak we're going back on when we're saying that in our case Rabbi Yeshua is Moda and Amigo. So aha, what's going on the Mishnah on Daf Yud Beis and Beis? Hanosi Yisishav Lo Matzala Basulim. The guy gets married to a girl thinking she's a Basula, and then he doesn't find any Basulim. He Omeris Mishar Asayin Nanasti. She says that after Erisin I became Nanas, and therefore you have to give me Masayim Zuz, and you can't blame me because it's as if Nistach Vasadeu, like you planted your field and it just didn't yield a good crop, so it's your own bad luck. So you can't. So it's your mazel. Who Omer, and he says Loki. Now you're not telling the truth. Ella Achelor Estich. I think you were Nanas not after the Erisin, but prior to the Erisin, and you lied to me. It's a Mekach Talus, and I don't know you anything. So Rabbi Shua says we do believe her. Rabbi Shua Melomi Pianu Chayin, and Rabbi Shua says I know that she has a Migo. We don't care. We don't listen to the Migo, and it's a Mekach Talus, and she doesn't get anything. So what's the Migo over there that Rabbi Yeshua is ignoring? The Migo di Bayi Omra Mukas Eitzani Tachtecha. Instead of saying that she was Netensa, she could have said that she was a Mukas Eitz Tachtecha, which would have been a better Taina to Loka Pasal Nafshe Mikuna. Because by saying that she was Netensa, she's becoming Pasal Lakuna. Had she claimed instead that she was a Mukas Eitz, she would not be Pasal Lakuna. V'ka Omra Nenasti, but she's saying Nenasti to Ka Pasal Nafshe Mikuna, where she's Pasaling herself Mikuna. So Mishnah come around Gamliel de Mehemda. That's what Rabbi Gamliel says, that the woman is believed. Come Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Gamliel, and Rabbi Yeshua is telling Rabbi Gamliel, based on that Mishnah, that in our Mishnah, behind Migo de Hachamodinalach, that in the Migo that we have in our Mishnah, that she could have, that the guy could have just not said anything and not told the other fellow that the field belongs to your father. Then I agree to you that that you can be believed. But who Migo de Hasam? But in that Migo in the first Perek that she could have said. That's where I disagree with you, and I say that someone is not going to be believed with a Migo. So Michti, so says Mar, wait, meaning the whole time we've been trying to come up with a case where we've been trying to find the Mishnah where Rabbi Yeshua ignored a Migo and said, I don't follow the Migo in the first parak, so that we can show the contrast that over here Rabbi Yeshua is listening to a Migo. But now the Gemara is taking a step back and saying, but why? Why would in one case he not follow a Migo, and in another case he does follow the Migo? Why would a Migo be enough to give someone a manos in the second parak, but not in the first parak? Michti, hai Migo, vahai Migo. Maishna, hai Migo, me hai Migo. Why is the Migo in the first parak not enough to make her ne'emanus? From the Migo in our Mishnah, where it is enough to make the guy who has this field ne'eman, right? The guy saying that Migo that I could have not told you that this field once belonged to your father, believe me, that it once belonged to your father, and then I bought it from him, and that's a good Migo, and we believe him. So says Gemara. The Gemara explains, Hacha, in the case of the field in our Mishnah, so Ein Shor Shachot Afanecha. There's no reason to have any doubt that would cause anyone to be Toveya this field in the first place. So if the Muchsak would have just kept his mouth shut, no one would have said anything. He would have happily lived on with his life, and that's a good Migo, because if it were not a Davar Pasha that what he's saying, it's true. When he said the Kachtia, we never would have said Shalavicha Hisa. Whereas Hassan, in the case of the woman saying Misharastani Nanasti, Harishar Shachot Afanecha, there's already something fishy going on. Even without her saying anything, we have a suffix. There was no Basulam over here. And therefore, when she says Misharastani Nanasti, she's addressing something that she's addressing a question that needs to be answered. The question is, hello, what happened over here? Where's your Basulam? So it's not like she just piped up and said something out of nowhere. So that's a much much weaker Migo, because she had to say something to address the claim. Whereas in our Mishnah, the guy could have just said nothing and happily lived on that field, happily ever after. So now the Gemara goes back to the actual din that our Mishnah says, that if there were Eidim that it was Yatsbi Numa, that her Ksuba is Masai. I mean, going back to the case of the woman who's claiming that when she got married she was a Basula, and the husband saying that no, you weren't. So the Mishnah had said that if there are witnesses that she was Yatsbi Numa, then her Ksuba is Masai. So in Maseches Babasra and Daf Sadi Beis, we have Machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, whether we follow Rov in Dine Mamanus. Rav holds that by Dine Mamanus we are Holechacha Rov, and therefore if you have a Rov to support your claim, you're Neman even to be Motzi Mamon, whereas Shmuel holds that no, we don't follow Rov outside of Isser Veheter. Isser Veheter, we have a Din of Achrei Rav Nahatos, but Ein Holchin B'Mamonacha Rov. A Rov does not help to be Motzi Mamon Miyana Muchsak in Dine Mamanus. Now the Gemara asks, according to Rav, V'kimen de Rov Nashim B'Sulis Nisos, since you have a Rov that most women when they get married are a Basula, meaning you go to the wedding halls and you say, how many weddings, you go to the kosher wedding halls, let's say, and you ask, how many weddings do you do a year? They'll say, okay, nothing during 3 weeks, nothing during, well, now everyone does weddings during Sfira because they always claim they have a different minhag or whatever, but you know, there are very few times that we don't do weddings. So let's say we do 200 weddings a year, so you're going to you can ask them, how many of them are weddings of first marriages or weddings of Basulas? Of the 200, 195, meaning an overwhelming majority are Basulos Nisos. So Kiloa Su Eidim may have. So even if there are no Eidim, why would there be any Chisaron in her Taina? She has a Rove that supports her claim that she was a Basula. So I answer Gemara, Amaravina, Mishim Di'ika Lemeimar, Rove Noshim Basulos Nisos, Umiyut Almanos. That most women get married as Basulos, but there is a Miyut that get married as Almanos. V'kala Nises Basulos, Yesh Lakol. And anyone who gets married as a Basula, everyone knows about it. It's a big deal. They make a larger wedding for a Basula. Vizu hol ve'in lakol. But this didn't have a kol. No one knows about this. How come there's no one here? How come we can't find anyone who was invited to this wedding who could tell us about it? You know, unless it was a Corona wedding or something, right? Why doesn't anyone know about it? So itra lo ruba. So that's a reyusa on the rov. So ein achinami. Normally you'd be multi mamon based on a rov. But over here you can't because there's a major kasha on this rov. And the kasha on this rov is, well, how come no one knew about this wedding? So frankly, Gemara, ikal anisis basula yesh lakol. If anyone who gets married as a basula, there's a kol and everyone knows about him. Ki asu edim. My Havi, why does it help to have Eidim that she was Yatsis B'Numa? Why does that help to support her? If that she was Yatsis B'Numa, a lot of people knew about it, and since no one is made about it, Hanach Sadi Shakri Ninu, shouldn't that be a raya that these Eidim are liars? Meaning these Eidim are saying she was Yatsis B'Numa, but we know that when a woman is actually Yatsis B'Numa, the whole world knows about it, and yet we can't find anybody that actually knows about this. Ella Amar Ravina says, we don't say that all women that get married as a Basula have a kol. Rather, we say rov hanisis basuliyeshal kol. Most of the time, when a woman gets married as a basula, people know about it. Vizo hol ve'in la kol itra lo aruba. This woman didn't have a kol, so it's a reyusa on the rov, and therefore the rov is not going to be strong enough for her to collect with just based on the rov alone. But if she brings edim that she's telling the truth, then the edos is not mucheshes from the fact that there's no kol, because there are times where there's no kol even by a wedding of a basula. So it doesn't tell you that they're Eidim Shakranim. Even the Havamina of the Gemara is difficult, meaning all of this is like an Umdana, that Yesh Lakol, that everyone knows about. It's like a Ruba Delesa Kaman. Eidim is as strong as you can get, right? Eidim is the biggest raya that you have in Judaism. So it's a difficult question that has to be dealt with as to what the Gemara even had a Havamina, that we were going to reject the Eidim based on an Umdana, based on a Ruba Delesa Kaman. That, yeah, most of the time when a Basil gets married, everybody knows about it. So anyway, the Gemara rejects it anyway, but even the Havamina is difficult to understand. So now the Gemara explains the din in our Mishnah, that a woman who claims she's entitled to 200 zuz because she was a Basula, husband says you're an almana, so im yesh edim shatsa b'yinuma, so we said she can get 200 zuz. Frak the Gemara v'leich ha'shtumma mafka edim b'hai beidin of a gavya v'hadim mafka l'ksuba b'hai beidin of a gavya ba. Shouldn't we be choshesh? Remember what was the whole case we said in our Mishnah? That we don't have the document, right? Meaning if the woman's claiming my ksuba is Masayim, first question you have to say is, okay, let's see it. You know, the husband saying it's mana. Let's see it. Oh no, it's lost. We don't have it anymore. So you don't have a document. So shouldn't we have to be suspicious that the document actually does exist? And she's coming with Adim to collect 200 zuz in this Beis Din, and she's going to actually take the document out in another Beis Din and collect 200 zuz again. So because once you collect with the document, Beis Din will rip up the document, and then she won't have it anymore. But if you can collect with Adim in lieu of a document, so then she's going to be able to collect twice. So why is that okay? So says Rabbi Avos, Osamaris, Kosvin Shover. That's what we say, that after the husband pays the ksuba, we give him a document that it's already been paid. So if she's going to try to pull out the ksuba in another basin and say that I'm entitled to Messiah Mzuz, the husband will be able to pull out the shover and say, no, that Messiah Mzuz has already been paid. Rav Papa Amar, B'makom Shein Kosvin Ksuba Askinan. Then no, maybe we're talking about a case where the ksuba was just assumed, that they didn't actually write a shtar ksuba, that it was a tanai basin, that it was automatic, that a ksuba is going to be binding, is going to be in place. So now I understand why you don't have to worry that she's going to pull out a ksuba in another basin, because no one has actual physical ksubas. It's just an automatic tanai basin. So those are the two answers. Vika de masinla abraisa. Some say this machlokas, Rabbi Avo and Rav Papa, whether we're kosev a shover or not, relates to a discussion about a braisa, that the braisa says ibda ksubasa. What if a woman loses her ksuba? Or hitmina ksubasa. She puts away her ksuba and she doesn't remember where she put it away. She hid it somewhere really, really safe. You know, when you hide something really, really, I put it in the safest place. So safe that I'm not going to find it. Or nisrafa ksubasa. Or her ksuba got burnt. In all these cases, the woman's going to come to Beis Din. She's going to say she's entitled to 200 zuz. And the husband is going to say, no, almana nisaticha. You're an almana. You're only entitled to 100. So if raktu lefanel, sachku lefanel, hevyu lefanel, koshal besora, o mapashal besulim, say im yeshla edim bechmi kalelu ksubasa masayim. If we could bring Aden that there was anything that happened at that wedding that indicates that she was actually a basula, they were dancing and they were sochek lefanel, Shitim Gvetzis writes that the rikida and the schok they only do in front of basulos where there's simchi yaseva, but a koshal besura and the mapashal besulim they could do even by an almanim and an isu and shalom nivala, but the brisa is saying lozu avzu, right? The brisa is saying not only is it good enough to bring a raya that there was schok and there was rikida, but even kos yayin, even of basura, even a mapashal besulim, which could apply to even nichnas and lechupa v'lo nivala, even in those cases, if you just bring rayas to that, if you bring rayas in any that any of those things happen, she's entitled to ksuba masayin. So that's where we ask on that brisa, maybe she's taking out she's bringing the edim in this basin and collecting with them, and then she's going to take out her ksuba in the next basin and collect with it. So Rabbi Avo, so that's what Rabbi Avo says, Zosameres Kosvin Shover. No, if the husband paid the ksuba, we'd immediately provide him with a shover, and then he'd be able to produce it, and he's never going to have to pay again. Rav Papa Amrokam Shein Kosvin Ksuba Askin. Rav Papa says, no, we're talking about a case where they do not write a ksuba, and therefore there's no chashash that she's going to pull out a ksuba somewhere else, because we're talking about a location where the minig is that they don't write a ksuba. So on that, the Gemara says, wait a second. The case of the brisa was that she lost her ksuba, she hid her ksuba, the ksuba got burnt. You're going to tell me that we're talking about a case where they don't write a ksuba? Va'ibda ksubasa katami. It says that she lost her ksuba. So it's obviously that they wrote a ksuba. So the kasava ihu. No, so we're talking about that he wrote a ksuba to her, but that's where you have to write a shovar. Sof, mafkala v'gavya ba. But bottom line is, if he wrote her a ksuba, the kasha still comes back. That can't she take it out in a different Beis Din and collect with it? So I answer the Gemara, my ibda ba'ur. Ibda over here means that it was burnt by a fire, and therefore, even though we're talking about that he wrote her a ksuba on his own volition without being forced to, because it was a makam that they don't have a minute to write a ksuba, we don't have to worry that she's going to take out the ksuba, because we know that the ksuba was burnt. Ihachi ainu nisrafa, says Gemara, wait. If ibda means that it was burnt, then and doesn't just mean that it was lost, then isn't that redundant? Because the brisa also gives an example of nisrafa va'od hitmina ma'ikal meimar. And furthermore, you still haven't accounted for every case of the brisa, because you need to say that this brisa is talking about where there's no risk that she's going to pull out a ksuba. But there was another case of the brisa that was hitmina, where she hid it in a safe place. Isn't that a risk that she's going to find it and pull out that ksuba? V'su ibda lamali. And not only that, even if you can say that nisrafa is the explanation of ibda, why does it have to say the case of ibda at all? Sa'ela kol ibda ki yitmina b'fneinu dami. That any time she's claiming that the ksuba was lost, we view that as if she's hiding the ksuba in front of us in order to pull it out a second time and to collect with it. V'lo ya'vinan la ada amri edim nisfa ksubasa. And we do not pay her for the ksuba until we have edim that say that no, we saw that the document no longer exists, that it's been burnt, it's been shredded, it no longer exists. So what the Bryce is really saying is, if the ksubasa, if she says she lost her ksuba, we view that as hitmina ksubasa. That's the halacha. We view it as if she hid the ksuba, and therefore we say you are getting nothing. But if she says that the ksuba is burnt, and she has aidin that the ksuba got burnt, okay, so then we're going to pay her ksuba. So now the Gemara discusses, what are these two lishonos disagreeing about? Whether Rabbi Avohu and Rav Papa are having their machlokas with relation to the Mishnah, or with relation to the Braisa? Meaning that we had two deos, so what the starting point of this machlokas, whether it was Makom Shein Kosum Ksuba or Makom Shein Kosum Shovar, related to? Did it relate to our Mishnah or the Braisa? So man de masana Braisa, the one who taught this machlokas, Rabbi Avohu and Rav Papa, in relation to the Braisa, where it says Mefurash, that she collects even though the ksuba, even though if everyone could mute themselves, that she collects even though the ksuba was lost, and the Rav Papa still says that ibda means that it has a din of hitmina, and she doesn't collect without a shtar unless she has edim that it actually got burnt. So kolshkin amasnisin. So all the more so you could learn this machlokas with relation to our Mishnah and say that our Mishnah is talking about a place where they don't write a ksuba, because now our Mishnah, there's nothing in our Mishnah that implies the opposite. But Uman de Masana Masnisin, but if you're going to say the Machlokas Rabbi Avohu and Rav Papa is in relation to our Mishnah, so then it's only about the Mishnah. Avla Braisa lo. But from the Braisa, it sounds like they write a shover like Rabbi Avohu, because you can't say that it's a case where they don't write a ksuba. Kikushya, because we already pointed out the simple reading of the Braisa is that they absolutely write a ksuba there, because it speaks about her losing the ksuba and hiding the ksuba and burning the ksuba. So there is a ksuba. So if you're going to learn this machlokas about our Mishnah, you're going to say it can't be about the Braisa, because the Braisa has so many words in it that imply that they do write a ksuba. So then the Mishnah said, if there were edim that she was yotza b'inuma, she gets Messiah. Frak the Gemara v'leicha shalom mafke edinuma by b'dinu v'gavya v'damafke edinuma by b'dinu achrina v'gavya. Maybe she'll find two edim that will say that she was yotza b'inuma in this basis, and she'll collect the 200 zuz, and then she'll find two edim that say that was yotza b'inuma, take them out in a different basis. And collect the Torah. So it doesn't even have to be the same Edim. It could be different Edim, right? Meaning if it's the same Edim, they would never come. We trust that people will be honest. But there were 500 people at her wedding. She just needs two sets of two Edim, take them out in different Bate Din, to verify that when she got married, she was a Basula. Says, that in a place where we have no other option, like in a case where there are 1,000 Edim and she could keep bringing out Edim, then for sure even Rav Papa would say that we write a Shover for the husband so that he's not going to have to keep on paying. And then we had said in the Braisa, Haviru lefanei kos shel besora, that one of the writers you could bring that she was a besula was that they had a kos shel besora. So what is that kos of besora? Samar avad barav, a kos yayin shel truma maviru lefanei. They take a cup of wine, of truma wine, and they pass it in front of her, kolomar, as a symbol of saying, ru'uya hoysazu lechol betruma, that if she was marrying a kohen, she'd be allowed to eat truma, meaning it's a symbol of saying that she's a besula, that she's not a zona, that she's ra'uy for kuhuna. Maskara Papa Atu Almana Milo Achul Betruma. Wait, if she was an Almana, would she not be Ra'u Di Truma? An Almana is allowed to marry a Kohen as well. Ela Amar Rav Papa Zu Rashis Ketruma Rashis. That no, the symbolism is that we're declaring that this woman is a Rashis, meaning this is her first relationship of this nature. This is her first Bia, just like Truma, which is also called Rashis. The Pasuk says Rashis Deban Chatirosh Kvitzarecha is Truma. Right, so Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Amar Chavish Shel Yain Mavir Lefneha. It was a barrel of wine that they would pass in front of her. Amar Rav Ad Barava Besula Mavir Lefneha Stuma Buul Mavir Lefneha Psucha. And the symbolism was a little more I don't know what the word is, but a little more expressive or obvious, that a Besula they would have a sealed barrel of wine, and a Buula they would have an open barrel of wine. So Amai Nev Kami Besula Kami Buula Never Klal. What do you need to pass an open barrel of wine in front of a bula? Just don't pass a barrel of wine in front of her. What do you have to? It's like making a show that you're the symbolism of this barrel is that you are a bula. Is the symbolism of your body. So says Mar Zimna the Tafsa Masayim, because sometimes a bu'ula is going to be tofes masayim zuz without a beis din, and when the husband tries to get the money back, va'amra ana b'sula avai, she's going to be able to claim, I was a b'sula when I got married, va'idlo abr kamay, nusehu di'nisu, and the fact that I didn't have a barrel of wine at my wedding was only because there was some sort of onus that occurred. So therefore we have to make something, we have to do something active to make it, that it is that it's obvious that she was a bu'ula at the time of the wedding, so that we'll find Aiden when the time comes that she in fact was a bu'ula. Okay, we'll stop there, and Be'ezras Hashem, tomorrow I'm not giving shir, that would be Shabbos's daf. Sunday's daf I'm also not giving shir. Monday morning in BKNW, regular time, 6:15 a.m. and then I'm going to Israel for 2 weeks, but at least Monday morning, Be'ezras Hashem, 6:15.